I thank you, God, that you've never left us, Lord. You're always there. Something special is happening in our lives this night. I thank you for all that you do. In the name of Jesus, we pray, let us, Lord, learn so that we can get better at whatever we do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. How many know that life is not a destination, it's a journey? If it was a destination, there'd be a point where you can say, okay, I got it now, we can stop. Nope. I find myself learning every day. Every time I think I got it figured out, I think I got all the answers, I find out I don't even know the questions. Amen. So here we go. We're going to talk about critical spirits. And tonight's going to be a little different, the cycle of criticism. So get your stuff out, get your Bible out. Most of this stuff I've already put on your paper so you can see it. So it should be right there, ready for you. It's right there where you can get to it, part 6. There should be some on the back table. There's some up here. So wherever you're at, we can get one. We're gonna do some explaining too. So you really might want to write some stuff down, because this is gonna be a very informative one out of all of them in this session right here. Criticism. The Greek is kritikos, which means able to discern or skilled in judging. So not all criticism is bad, but not all criticism is good. Criticism has two meanings. First, it means to speak fairly with discernment in regard to merit or value, judging a tree by the fruit it bears. I can also look, and I can tell if somebody's done a good job. If I've got to pay a man to mow my lawn, I can go out there and I can look, and if he's only mowed half of it, then I've got to be able to look at it and understand it, so I can think, wait a minute, he only mowed half the lawn. You know, if I get my car fixed, get the tires, I'm getting a whole new set of tires, and they give me 3 new tires and 1 old tire. I mean, you've got to be able to discern in regard to merit or value. Speaking unfairly with trivial, harsh judgment is when you're just a fault finder. And that we all at times have been fault finders. Every last one of us. If we try to say I've never been a fault finder, nah, everybody has been fault finders. It may not be exactly at the same degree of each other, but we've all been fault finders. The Bible stresses the important, powerful impact of our right and wrong words. It says the tongue has the power of life and death. Proverbs 18:21. So we've talked about criticism. We've talked about the spirit of criticism. And now we've been talking about Job the whole time through all of this. So look at this. Job's had enough. And he just wants his friends that have now become rabid wolves. He just wants them to be quiet once and for all. How many's ever had somebody that you actually trusted and depended on, all of a sudden they became like a wolf? They just attacked you, and for no reason. I mean, it hurts. It hurts when somebody's attacking you when there is a reason, when there is no reason. And so again, we've all felt that wrath, and it doesn't feel good. He says in Job 13, 4 and 5, he says, but you are forgers of lies. You are all physicians of no value. In other words, you defame my character most untruthfully. You are all physicians of no value and have no remedy to offer me. He says, oh, that you would altogether hold your peace and you should be, and it should be your wisdom. Or altogether, just be quiet. Have you ever had somebody come trying to give you advice? You just went, can you please stop helping me? Have you ever felt that way? Can you just stop helping me? I mean, you think you're doing good, but you're criticizing me. You're just beating me up. It's just better if you just be quiet. That's what Job was saying. The evidence of your wisdom, you might pass for, if you'll be quiet, you may pass for a wise man. But as long as you open that mouth, ain't nobody going to think you're wise. But the cycle of criticism continued. All three accusers, keep up that verbal pounding, which prompts this battered man to plead before his God. Only grant me these two things, God, that I will not hide from you. Withdraw your hand far from me and stop frightening me with your terrors. In other words, he doesn't even understand that God's not punishing him. He thinks God is punishing him. His friends are telling him God is punishing him. And he doesn't understand that God is actually showing the devil. He's showing him off to the devil and showing him, pound him with everything you've got. Hit him top, bottom, front, back. Hit him every way you can hit him, and he still will serve me. So he thinks, Job is thinking God is punishing him. His friends are thinking that God is punishing him, and God is not punishing him at all. Wow. Somebody say wow, please. Have you ever felt like God was punishing you, and then later on you found out somebody said, I watched you as you went through that, and it lifted me up and it strengthened me because I saw the way you handled it. And I said, when I saw you go through it, I said, there's no way in the world anybody can go through that. And you went through it. You took a pound and you took a beating. But look, you came out unscathed. That's what Job's going to be in the end. In the end, Job gets double for his trouble. Wow. Somebody say double for his trouble. Wow, that's awesome. Okay, so here we go. We're getting some deep theology here, literally. I know when I start talking that way, you think I'm getting ready to cut up with you, but I'm serious now. We're going to get into some deep stuff. The painful situations that we experience are processed, and please listen, they're processed by our soul. Did you know that man is a trichotomy? By trichotomy, meaning there's three parts to every man and woman. The first part is body. We've all got a body. That's the part that stays in the ground when we die. We have a soul and we have a spirit. The spirit is the breath of life within us. The spirit is our link to God. God breathed in us the spirit of life and man became a living soul. So we're a body. When you're breathing, you're a spirit, pneuma. But then there is the soul. The soul, the word in the Greek for soul is psyche, where we get psychiatrist, where we get psychiatric. So now, the soul, that's why we say a lot of times, you know, animals are creatures of not necessarily habit, but God puts it in them what to do. Okay? We have to learn a lot of times. We have to learn all things. Now, mamas don't have to learn how to take care of the babies. They can use some help sometimes learning, but eventually they're going to figure it out, okay? But what I'm saying is, though, other than that, and most things we have to learn because God didn't have that instinct in us. There's a mother's instinct. There's also a protective instinct that a father has, that he'll protect his family. But other than that, there's a lot of stuff we have to learn because God didn't give us that instinct like he does those animals. I love watching these animal things at night, and this week's the big week of cats, the big cat week. I can't wait to see all these leopards. And I mean, Linda and I love it. The leopards and the lions until they get mean. And then we have to change it to something simpler like Gilligan's Island or Everybody Loves Raymond. Gilligan's Island comes on in the daytime, so it's Everybody Loves Raymond. Which that time, now you got the big lion named, what's his brother's name, y'all? His big brother? Raymond's big brother? I didn't ask somebody something. We all know it. Robert. Yeah, Robert's the big gorilla. Okay, the big gorilla. Okay. All right. So now, your soul, and sometimes it's even referred to as your heart, biblically, is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now, we're going to talk a lot about that tonight because this is going to help you. I hope this will help you more than anything we've done in this series here to help you understand how we process things, and how we process things determines our outcome. That's why two people can be going through the same thing and one person thrive and the other person dive. Why? Because the way we process it through our mind, our will, and our emotions. So over time, we can develop a negative pattern of reacting to these painful situations. Everybody in here has painful situations. There's not a person in here that does not have a painful situation in your life. And that negative pattern of reacting to these painful situations becomes critical. So a pattern that can remain, and that pattern can remain with us into and throughout our life. I've known people that were jolly and excited about life, and they had a certain situation hit them. They didn't know how to react to it, and they did exactly what I'm going to tell you right here. And as they did it, what happened was, for the rest of the time I knew them, they were cold, calculated, and critical, because they didn't know how to react to what was happening to them. So, see, Psalm 116, again, when you're talking about, we're a trichotomy, we're body, soul, and spirit, the soul being our mind, our will, our emotions. When you talk about the soul, here it is. Psalm 116 says, return, 116 and 7 says, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. Psalm 116 and 7. Or return you to my rest, O my soul, because God has shown himself abundantly above what I need in my life. So now, be at rest, O my soul. Wash your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. If you're here tonight and you are unsettled in your soul, it's because your mind, your will, and your emotions have gotten out of order. It's like a little train. And when actually the emotions should be the caboose, the emotions have become the train. The locomotive up front, whatever you call that thing. Can't think of what you call the front car now. What do you call it? You look at the engine. Thank you. The emotions have become the, thank you, my mind. My will's there, my emotions, my mind's kind of fluttering right now. Okay. So what happens is, when your soul is not at rest, one of the biggest reasons your soul is not at rest is because a situation or situations you were in has caused you to allow your emotions, instead of being the caboose, the emotions have become the engine. And when the emotions are the engine, your soul will never find rest. So here we go. Get ready. I told you this is heavy stuff tonight. This is about as heavy as you can get. So now, there's people also that have watched away somebody significant, and we'll talk about a little later on, but somebody significant in their life, they can watch how they handled problems when they were a child. And you ever notice that somebody, if their mom and daddy had a bad temper, or their mom and daddy did this or that, and they did the same thing, it's because that was their role model. That's what they saw played out in front of them, and it became a pattern that was passed down from family member to family member. Sometimes we even call it, at times when it's negative, a generational curse. All right? So you have to break these things. So how can we break these things? Here it is. We must rely on the transforming work of the Holy Spirit within us to help us overcome a critical spirit. I like Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is awesome. I love that psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions. And then it just says, look, bless the Lord, O my soul, and here it is, and all that is within me, my mind, my will, my emotions. Wow. Y'all didn't know that David practiced psychology when he was writing the Psalms. That's Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, from my head to my toe, I will bless his holy name. All that is within me, my mind, my will, my emotions. Now, if you watch somebody that their engine has become their emotions versus their mind, what happens is, you don't know how they're going to act or react to things. Because depending on the situation, depends on how they're going to be. But if the mind is the engine and the emotions are the caboose, they're still going to have problems, but they're going to be more steady in their approach to handle what's going on. So now, and I'm pretty sure Marina, the kindergartners, I'm pretty sure 99% of your kids, the emotions are their engine. That's right.
Oh, no, oh, Miss Cole, I didn't mean to not do that.
How many times did you hear that today? Okay. So, the Holy Spirit, oh, let me finish. This is, "Blessed Lord, O my soul, forgetting all his benefits. He forgiveth all thy iniquities. He healeth all thy diseases." You say, "Well, I'm still sick." Well, sometimes he doesn't necessarily physically heal you, but he gives you the ability to handle the storm. It's like this. He may not heal me, but he'll fix me on the inside that I can handle it, and I can use that to help other people. "Who forgiveth all iniquities, heal all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like an eagle's. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He make known his ways unto Moses, he acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plentiful in mercy. He will not always chide, nor keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sin, nor regard or rewarded us after our according to our iniquities. For heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, he hath removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knows our frame." He knows how much we can handle. Think about that. He knows our frame. He knows us inside and out. He knows how much we can take. Have you ever said, "Lord, are you trying to see how much I can take?" Guess what? The proper question is, "Lord, are you trying to show me how much I can take?" Because he already knows. All right. So, "For as a man, his days are as grass, as the field of the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness is unto his children's children." So here we go. Let's get back over here on our sheet here. When you are trapped in a cycle of criticism, when you find yourself, you can't seem to shake it. You may even exclaim, "I can't help reacting this way." The trouble is, your emotions are merely responding to what your mind thinks. Therefore, the cycle is this: your negative thoughts produce your negative emotions, which in turn produce your negative actions. Wow. Your negative thoughts produce negative emotions, which in turn produce negative actions. Since the cycle of criticism begins in our thoughts, we need to heed what the Bible tells us about renewing our minds and appropriate the mind of Christ. With God's help, we can change our thoughts and then experience a changed life. Scripture says it like this: "Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind." Don't be so well adjusted with your surroundings that you just fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Really recognize that he wants from you and quickly respond to it. He wants to change the way you think. "Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." God wants to change the way we think. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." If you think about the mighty, anybody gets the mighty army, you're going to see what happens a whole lot. There's a whole lot of positive faith. There's a whole lot of positive thoughts. I'm not coming in talking about a positive attitude where it's happy-go-lucky and, you know, que sera, sera. No. Positive faith and positive thoughts. And you'll see me on multiple times, I've put, "Do not overthink your problem." If you overthink your problem, especially if you have an analytical mind, if you overthink your problem, you'll find yourself inviting trouble that has not been invited. You'll find yourself inviting trouble that wasn't even going to come to the door. "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." So now, whenever a negative situation occurs in your life, you have the choice as to how to think about it, which determines how you respond. So the natural progression occurs as follows. This now, here's somebody that's thinking like with a worldly mindset. When I say worldly, I don't mean necessarily somebody that's out there drinking and smoking smoking marijuana and stuff. I'm talking about somebody just got, he's thinking of his own self, thinking in his own way. Self-directed reaction. Okay? Self-directed action, mind, emotions, will. Mind, emotions, will. Here it goes. Negative situation, if you can see it, there's a negative situation comes in your mind. When you see this negative situation, you begin to think on it, and then your emotions, what you feel, what you think, you see it, it happens, then your emotions take over. Remember, it's the driving force now. Your emotions take over, and the will is what you'll choose to do. Human spirit without the Holy Spirit, wow. Let me tell you something. You've heard me talk about this before, the emotion seesaw. Every last one of us, when we're communicating with somebody, think of a seesaw. When it's up high, there's your emotions. When it's down low, there's reasoning. And usually, when two people are talking about something, very seldom are both of them down. One is up with their emotions and not going to listen to reason. You can try your best to reason with them. They're not going to listen to reason because their emotions are driving the train. So emotions driving the train, they're not going to listen. You can't reason with them. And then if you're not careful, your emotions. And now nobody is getting anywhere because our emotions are so high. Neither one got their feet on the ground. That's right. So what happens is both of you have to think about it. It has to be a conscious effort to calm it down, and both of you bring it down, and now you can connect. But until that happens, nothing is going to happen. The Bible says we walk by what? Faith, not by sight, not by emotions, not by our senses. We walk by faith, meaning the circumstances can be the same, but it's your decision, believe it or not, it's your decision whether you're going to think with your emotions or you're going to think with your mind. So here we go. Let's go a little further into this thing. Do you know Romans 12, of course, and then Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. Do you know that you can think yourself into misery? You can think yourself into a bad day. You can think yourself into a bad life because now what you've done is you're not thinking with a renewed mind. With a renewed mind, you're still thinking. It's not that you stopped thinking. It's not that you're Pollyanna. It's not all that. It's just now when I think with a renewed mind, I think what the Word of God says about it. And when I'm thinking about what the Word of God says about it, now I've got strength and I've got victory and I've got overcoming power. I've got something I can anchor to, something I can trust, something I can build on. When I just think about my own mind, I don't have anything to build on. I've just got experience, and sometimes my experiences are all messed up. So I can think myself into misery, a bad day, a bad life. I can think myself into a bad marriage, bad kids. I can think myself into an early grave. I watched somebody in my family, when they were in their 40s, their grandmother lived to be in their 70s. Their mother lived to be 57. This person said, I'll never live. Her mother kept saying, I'll never live as long as my mother did. And she died at 57. So now I reckon because she said that about her mother, that this person said, I'll never live to be as old as my mother, which her mother was 57. And I kept telling that person, stop saying that. And they kept saying it. I'll never live as long as my mother did. The woman died at 56. Now, toward the end, she started thinking. Her mind was renewed, and she's going, No, God's got this. I'm going to live to be 80, 90 years old. But by that time, all the stuff had piled on. And I think it gave her some more time, it gave her a better, what was that? big mice. It gave her a better life, but it didn't give her a longer life because she had changed her mind. So here it is, negative situation. Somebody, here it goes, you got it written down there. Somebody verbally abuses you. All right, ready? Somebody verbally cuts you down, they verbally use you. Look at your paper here. Your mind records the cruel words and thinks angry thoughts. He's so hateful. She's so hateful. They just ain't got a clue. And many develop a critical spirit because of the way they process the pain in their lives. And this process is naturally influenced by the ways the significant people in our lives have processed their own pain. Again, this person, her mother said, I'll never live as long as my mother. And she kept talking it and talking it and talking. She lived to be 57. Then this person said, I'll never live as long as my mama. She died at 56. And was sicker than her mother, who was always sick. She was sicker than her. So now, your mind records the cruel words and thinks angry thoughts. He's so hateful. Your emotions respond with angry feelings. I hate him. I wish I could give them a piece of what I'm feeling. If you're not careful, you base your decisions more on emotions than on reasoning. And then your will reacts with angry behavior. You start acting in hateful ways. It's not good. It's a vicious cycle. And this cycle goes around and around and around. And every time it goes around, somebody else gets hurt. I mean, they're just getting hurt. It's like being out on the battlefield. Responding in kind with nasty verbal attacks or angry, argumentative shouting is a natural human response that follows angry thoughts and angry feelings. This type of response only continues cycles of behavior that destroy rather than give life. Paul said it, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. Again, your mind is not renewed. You're not thinking the word. You're not thinking what God says. I try my best. When the devil starts throwing something at me, I say, yeah, I understand, but God says. But God says. But God says. But God says. Okay. So now, if you're a person that constantly wears your feelings on your sleeve, emotions, I can tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have a bad life. I know we all wear it from time to time. Sometimes I see my feelings out there and I go, all right, climb back in. It's like, you know, if somebody says they're, you can tell when their emotions are way out here and when their emotions are intact where they belong. The difference is one is calm and cool and the other one is a fireball. So, here it is. Your soul, spirit-directed, renewed mind. You got the Word of God in you. The Word of God is dwelling richly in you. And now, with that Word dwelling in you, you can spit that Word out. You can put the Word to it. Bam, bam, bam. Fight it with the Word. Fight it with the Word. Fight it with the Word. Every day, fight it with the Word. Watch this. Now, when it's the other way, it's mind, emotions, will. And remember, emotions are driving the train. They're the engine. When it's your soul as a spirit-directed response, it's mind, will, and emotions. Now your will is driving the train. Wow. There's a big difference. When my will's driving the train, now I'm not all up and down. I'm not all back and forth. I'm not running around trying to figure out what's going on. Because my will says, mind, you better think on the good things. Think on these good things. Think on the Word of God. Fight it back with the Word of God. The emotions are saying, oh, you got it coming, buddy. But now my will's saying, hold on, the Word of God says. The Word of God says, mind, you better get in line with the Word of God. So now, here's the negative situation. When you're self-directed, It goes from your mind, what you think, to emotions, what you feel, to your will, to what you choose. When you're spirit-led, it goes to your mind, then it goes to your will. The mind is the entry point. That's where it all comes in at. That's when it all you start to think about it, okay? Now, the will is the caboose. Spirit-led choices, I'm going by the word, and the emotions, spirit-led feelings, are in back. It helps us to stay calm, cool, and collected. There are certain people in everybody's life that have a button they can push. And when they push that button, you can think all you want to, I'm going to be spirit-led. You might be spirit-led for a little while, but if you're not careful, you get angry. So you got to be careful when you see these things coming. And I'm telling you, I had the same problem. I got some of my family that, honestly, when I get around them, it's like a fingernails on a chalkboard. And I hate it. I hate that I have that way, that feeling. But I see it. I feel it because I'm under constant bombardment of negative, 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 negative when I'm around them. And so, God help me. Help me to help them. And my efforts to help them, when they keep popping back that negative, they don't want to be helped. Next thing I know, here we go again. Pushing them buttons. Well, it'd be all right to avoid them if you could. You can pick your friends. You can't pick your family. Oh, yeah. I've done a lot of praying. A lot. Okay. So here it goes. This is the spirit-led now. Get ready. Your mind records the unjust words, the verbal attack. The Holy Spirit, as your counselor, teaches your mind how to think about the offense. Wow. The Bible says the Holy Spirit's the paraclete. What's a paraclete? Paraclete means one called along beside. To help guide, to help train, to lift you up when you're falling. So the Holy Spirit's by your side. He teaches your mind how to think about the offense. The counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send him in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've told you. Now, a problem with many people, honestly, is he's not reminding them because they don't have it in their head. He can't remind you the Word of God if you don't have the Word of God in you. That's why the Bible says that the Word of God dwell richly in you. And that's why if somebody has no knowledge of the Word of God, none, then when the attack comes, all they can think about is they just hit these same old normal things that everybody has taught them. You know, when you can tell, Eddie and I were talking about it, birds of a feather flock together. That's not in the Bible. You can only tell, and at any time, you'll only be able to tell that the seasons by the blooming of the fig tree. That is not in the Bible. I mean, there's so many things that everybody thinks is in the Bible, and you find it's not in the Bible. It's just something somebody took and misquoted and misquoted and misquoted, and then somebody kept misquoting it. And so that's all you got in your mind is what you heard from your grandmama 50 years ago. And then you wonder, well, how come I'm losing this spiritual battle? You got to have the Word of God fresh in you. All right. Watch this. Here's the Holy Spirit helping you. His words were so hateful, but there must be something painfully broken in his life. I will do what the Bible tells me to do. I need to pray for those who persecute me. Wow. There's got to be, instead of going, I can't believe it, you can go, wait a minute. The Spirit's already talking to you. That person's hurting, and their latch out to you was actually a cry for help. Sometimes when people are lashing out at you, they're actually crying for help, and you don't know it. You don't realize it unless you got the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to help you. And even then, they don't want your help necessarily. But it's still a cry for help. Number two, first your mind records the unjust words. The Holy Spirit tells you how to think. Number two, your will acts with prayer as the Spirit directs you your will toward the right choice. As your conscience, he convicts you to pray, whether you feel like it or not. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide thee in all truth. He will speak. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. John 16:13. Here it is. Somebody's hurt you. Now, instead of giving them a piece of your mind, watch this. Lord, I pray that, and I put that person's name in there, will allow you to meet the need for healing, whatever the past pain is still causing this person problems. Whatever that problem is that's causing them problems, Lord, I pray for them, for you to help them. And then your emotions respond with compassion as a spirit controls your emotion. Now, instead of getting all fired up and wound up and ready to shoot them and stab them and pick them up and set them on fire, now your emotions respond with compassion as the Spirit controls your emotions. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who hath been given to us, Romans 5:5. Now, you see the difference here. I want you to see. When your mind is taken over, when your thinking is taken over, your mind recalls the cruel words, or the cut downs, the hurt, and you think angry thoughts, they're so hateful. And you get in this cycle. Your emotions respond with angry feelings. I hate them, or I wish I could do something to change them. I wish I could just, And then your will reacts with angry behavior. You act in hateful ways. You say things you shouldn't be saying, do act in ways you shouldn't act, get an attitude you shouldn't be having. Or, spirit-led, your mind records the same thing, but now the Holy Spirit teaches you how to think about the offense. And now you say, wait a minute, if this person hurt me, obviously hurt people hurt people. So if they hurt me, they're hurting too. And God, whatever that's broken in their life, Lord, show me how I can help them. If nothing else, I will pray for them. Then your will acts with the power of the Spirit, directs your will toward the right choice. Now here you go praying. Lord, I pray that you touch this person, and they will allow you to meet that need for healing, whatever past pain is still causing this person problems. Then your emotions respond with compassion as the Spirit controls your emotions. As you pray, the Comforter evokes from you loving compassion toward the unjust person who is spiritually needy. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Now, is there any questions, any comments? And I hope this actually helped in your thinking process. Anybody got anything? He's a very good friend to have. Matter of fact, I can tell you, when you're about to blow up, when you feel like you've had all you can take, that the Holy Spirit can do more for you in one moment than you can do in a lifetime. Wow. The Holy Spirit can bring you more comfort in one moment than you can receive in a lifetime. He can do more for you and give you more wisdom in one moment than you can experience in a lifetime. That's right. That's right. That's sort of peacemakers. They're the guys that have got this. They've got it figured out. You can usually tell somebody this. You can be around somebody, maybe not during the good times, but if you're around that person through the good times and the bad times, you can pretty well tell if they have a self-directed reaction or a spirit-directed response. Because you'll see the emotions driving the train and the wheel back here, or you see the will's driving the train and the emotions back here. And I have to tell you, I don't always get it right. There's times my emotions are driving, especially when certain people push buttons, you know, in my family or something. You know, when they push buttons, it just, you know, ugh. But we don't get it right all the time. No, we don't. That's why we have to keep learning. Every day we have to keep learning. And that's why it's so good that we have faithful partners, because our husband or wife are there to help. Because usually what I've noticed too is that very seldom are both of them at the same degree at the same time. So one's always there to help. The Bible says that one lifts up the other. So we're there. I love my wife. I can tell you that. She's back there too. She's out there. Let me tell y'all. Look, she says she's going to shoot me. Look, the Italian's going to shoot me and stab me. But other than that, but that won't be emotions. It'll be the wheel. Look. She's an Italian. It's the wheel. Go ahead and tell her. Go ahead and tell her. And what was really bad was I thought Linda had driven. If I was going to get me a hug, I was going to get me a hug and a peck on the cheek. But, huh? No. No, Jeanette said she was shorter than you. Well, see, and I saw Jeanette's car and thought it was Linda's car because they had the same kind of car. So I run out. I bust the door open. I was going to say, "Hey, dear, can you give me a hug?" And I go out and I say, and this is not the thing to say when people are coming to church. Y'all are not Linda. And so how does people coming in? And it's like, I'm not even worried about y'all. I'm just looking for Linda. So I had to change it. So now I'm glad y'all are here. And then you said, "You look like you were coming out looking for the star in the east." At a while ago for service. I was just trying to get a hug. I thought it was her and I was gonna run and get me a hug, and so I jumped out to go get me a hug right quick like, and it was Jeanette. Okay, so here we go. Any questions, any comments? That was good. Let's start a Peacemakers. Think about this. I want y'all to take this, and if you want, because these things are kind of small to see, but the stuff's written right there. So I wrote it down for you, and it lets you some spots here to write. This right here will not only help you from having a critical spirit, it will aid you in proper critical thinking, which is what you do want. You don't want a critical spirit, but you do want critical thinking. There's a difference. And it'll help you somebody else's critical spirit too. Sure, it sure will. So this, like I said, this right here is, I mean, it was just, the more I read and the more I saw, I said, man, this is just awesome, 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 awesome. So we don't have much longer to go on critical spirits. Don't anybody go, yeah, because then I would take it as a critical remark. Okay, let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for all you do for us, Lord. I thank you for all you do in our lives, God. And I thank you, Lord, that we have the Holy Spirit, which is awesome. We don't have to think with our emotions. When we think with our emotions, we don't just drag ourselves down. We stop the healing process. We stop it. Not only do we stop the healing process, we bring others down with us. Lord, let us think with our will. Put the Word of God in this place so that we can heal and others can join us in the journey. We thank you for it right now. Help us come back Sunday ready to worship you, Lord. And we thank you for it. Let's have a good Thanksgiving on Thursday. And I'm praying for everybody but the turkey. in the name of Jesus. Amen.